I'm Chris Ostrander, and I am the Vice President of the Spokane Food Policy Council, as well as the convener of the Spokane Farmland Preservation Working Group. And I am here because this is a beautiful piece of farmland that represents about 30% of all of the zoned agricultural land within the city of Spokane. It's a beautiful piece of land, and I hope that it stays as a working farm. Again, I'm primarily representing the Spokane Farmland Preservation Working Group, which is a relatively brand new ad hoc citizens organization that pretty much coalesced originally post the public hearing when the conditional permit was approved for the development here. But I've eyed this piece of property for many years and have been following the developments and controversies over the years about this land. And I also represent the Spokane Food Policy Council, which is an independent nonprofit citizen-run council that was begun by Ben Stuckert years ago, but we're on our own 2 feet now. And the council is also supportive of this land being conserved, being purchased publicly, but also importantly to try to maintain it as a working farm. And there's many reasons for that. This entire flat area is what's considered a class one prime agricultural soil by the USDA. Prime if irrigated is what its classification is. And the irrigation is very feasible because there is a certified agricultural water right on the well, and also a water right claim to draw from the creek. So the water right claim is 125 gallons per minute to irrigate 25 acres of farmland between April 15th and October 15th. And the certified right is 125 gallons per minute from April 1 to October 1 for the irrigation of 10 acres. In addition to that, there is a domestic well. Domestic wells can water home gardens and lawns at a rate of, and for domestic use, for at a rate of 10,000 gallons a day. And in addition, for a commercial purpose, if this was a working farm, they could draw 10,000 gallons a day additional for a commercial use, like irrigating a farm. So, and also the fact that it's been a working farm. I came up to the end of the road last year, and they were haying it at that time. And I think it's really important to talk about urban agriculture. It is a up-and-coming trend, and it was an up-and-coming trend even before the pandemic, because people were realizing that it's important to improve food security in metropolitan areas. And part of that is developing a better local food system in our whole county, in our whole region, 100-mile radius from Spokane. But it's also important to try to maintain and develop food-producing capacity within a city. And Spokane would not be alone if there was enough will on the part of the city to do this. Other cities are doing it. So I just wanted to just say a few things about urban agriculture. This is from a document from the USDA called The Promise of Urban Agriculture. Urban agriculture gains popularity. Urban agriculture training programs are popping up all over the country for different target audiences. There's new routes for refugees in Kansas City, the Green Entrepreneurial Center in Buffalo, GrowDat Youth Farm in New Orleans, Massachusetts Avenue Project in Buffalo. These urban farming programs can teach many skills: ecology, biology, plant science, math, workforce readiness, patience, responsibility, accounting, customer service, and training programs. So one of the things that the that the Farmland Preservation Working Group did was we sent out a petition in the winter of 2019, early 2020, asking people if they supported the concept of this remaining a working farm and becoming a center for urban agriculture education. So by doing that, it would provide educational opportunities, it would grow food for Spokane. Much of it could be donated into the food assistance programs, fresh local produce, which is really good for people's health. Try to get people away from eating so much processed food and make really good nutrient-dense produce available to low-income folks, would just raise public health throughout the city, provide job training, and preserve this land. I mean, once farmland, if there were 94 homes here, there would never, ever be the ability to farm here again. We had 140 people in a matter of a couple months sign that, that it was actually a sign-on letter that we sent to the city council and the county Conservation Futures Program. There's a lot of support, and we're just a fledgling. There's no budget or anything for outreach. If we had a better budget, we would have gotten maybe 1,000 or more signatures to that petition in support of keeping this land as a working farm. Now, one of the things that impressed me during the comment period of the permit was the Friends of the Bluffs outreach campaign to try to get the permit to include public access through here. And the Farmland Preservation Working Group is totally in favor of public access through this, even if it was a working farm. So I think we can work together. I had a conversation months ago with Nick Hamad where we were talking about the potential for RCO grant money, and he mentioned a potential where different pieces of the land could be subdivided in order to increase the funding opportunities. For instance, you take off that chunk by the creek, let that be one parcel, and that there would open up funding opportunities for riparian restoration. The part up here, that goes, and the finger that goes that way, that could easily be a separate parcel that would be primarily conservation land. But this piece here, this is so close to downtown. It would be a perfect place to have a center of urban agriculture education that could serve school children, college students, and just people in the workforce who would like to come and learn. Because one of the things, the Spokane Farmland Preservation Working Group works closely with the American Farmland Trust, which is a nationwide farmland preservation organization. And they just recently completed a study nationwide of farmland preservation policies and problems throughout the country. One of the things that they talked about was the fact that Washington has pretty much the oldest population of farmers in the country. There's only about five, six other states in the entire country that have as many old farmers as we do in Washington State, between that are older than 65 years old. And we need to be able to teach younger people how to farm so that we can transition existing farms where people are aging out, and we need places for training for on-farm education to happen. So we're just really hopeful that the city will see the light in terms of carving out a space for this to be a working farm. The 2018 Farm Bill set up a brand new office within the USDA called the Office of Urban Agriculture. This is indicative of the increase in interest in urban agriculture throughout the country. There are many examples of city land being leased to farmers, either sometimes it's private farmers and sometimes it's nonprofit organizations that operate various kinds of farms that are sometimes educational, sometimes not. Other cities around the country have done similar things. New York City has 6 urban farms that are under the authority of the New York City Housing Authority. Seattle has programs that do urban farming under a housing authority type organization. So it just makes sense. This is zoned agricultural. There's only 152 acres of zoned agricultural land in the entire city of Spokane, which is about 38,000 acres for the whole city. And most of it is in that direction, and most of it's already been built on. So this is a gem, and you know, let's keep it and let's develop it into a beautiful destination that people can hike through and watch folks working, producing beautiful food, put up some greenhouses, get some season extension going, and provide really nutritious food to everyone in Spokane. We can sell some of it, we can donate some of it, we can teach people how to farm, we can improve our food security, and we can make a step towards climate mitigation, climate change mitigation, because when we localize our food system, not just here, but the entire county and the entire food shed, we are doing our part to try to cut down on the amount that agriculture contributes to global warming. No, thank you.